I speak to you in the name of God, Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Advent is a season for feeling out of kilter, a time in which we are caught between joyful expectation and the often harsh realities of the present, longing for God's promise to be fulfilled. It is a part in our faith, a time of waiting quietly in the darkness. But there is little room for darkness when the neighborhood is glowing with displays of lights. And there's no patience for prayerful expectation when holiday carols blare from every speaker as we rush around from store to store. Yet, ironically, this experience of being out of sync between our faith world and the rest of our world may attune us more deeply to the nature of Advent. Because in Advent, we live in the unsettling tension between what is and what will be. The prophet Jeremiah speaks to a community that is acutely aware of this tension. Jerusalem has been completely devastated in the Babylonian invasion of 587, before the Christian era, and the inhabitants of Israel have been scattered from their homeland and are living as conquered people in Babylonian captivity. Their way of life has been completely overturned, and their sense of security has been violated. They have no idea if they will live to see their home again. Naturally, the people ask, where is God in the midst of this? Why did such devastation happen? Will God allow them to return home again? What happened to the covenant with David, the promise of God? These questions are familiar to us because they also reverberate all around us. We see them etched in the faces of the displaced peoples of our world, which appear daily in the media. We hear them in the cries of those whose lives are ruined by war or drugs or poverty. We ask them ourselves when life does not match up with what we expect. These are questions that are asked when living in the wide gap between the reality of what is and the promise of what will be. Jeremiah, usually the prophet of doom and gloom, however, is not daunted in the face of the questions. Instead, he offers a vision of a new reality that speaks into the pain and the suffering, offering hope to the people. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. Jeremiah shares an alternate reality in which Israel is restored, justice and righteousness will prevail, and there will be safety and flourishing of life in the land that God has promised. We should not underestimate what a daring proclamation he makes. For Jeremiah, unlike some leaders in our world today, does not simply cast utopian visions of life as it once was or as the people desire it to be. He does not grieve empty promises or give empty promises that are little comfort for the homeless, the broken dreams, the tarnished memories. Jeremiah does not put himself at the center of the equation. But he speaks of the coming of one who will execute righteousness and model for us a way of being, an alternative reality that bridges the gap between what is and the promised future. Parker Palmer helps us translate this concept. He says that Christianity requires us to stand in the tragic gap. On the one side of the gap, we look at the hard realities around us, poverty, anger, hatred, greed, despair. We see hungry and thirsty and desperate people everywhere. We watch it on TV and we doom scroll on social media. On the other side of where we are standing are those things that we know to be possible, not because we wish they were true, but because we have seen them with our own eyes. We have seen greed, but we have also seen great generosity. We have seen rampant and competitive individualism, but we have also seen collaboration and community. We have seen gross violence, but we have also seen healing and justice. What we need to do to stay in the action is to stand in the tragic gap without flipping onto one side or the other. We need to find balance. For too much of the hard realities cause us to become cynical, and too much of the other side, and we are into irrelevant idealism. And although those two sides sound very different, they're actually the same, because they take us out of the action and leave us immobilized, able to do nothing. By standing in the tragic gap, we hold creative tension instead of giving in to destructive tension. Destructive tension shatters our heart into a million pieces, and we cannot act because we are too busy crawling around on the floor, trying to pick up the pieces and to put our heart back together. Creative tension breaks open our hearts into greater capacity to hold both the joy and the suffering that come with being human. A willingness to stand in the tragic gap puts us in a place where our hearts can be broken open. It is in this place, amidst everything being off-kilter around us, that we can stand with quiet confidence. A place where we can have the grace and the generosity to offer a new reality of hope to all those whom we encounter. A place where we can witness to God's righteousness with actions that speak of hope, peace, joy, and love. A place where the Prince of Peace, the Son of Righteousness, can indeed be found, born in our hearts once again at Christmas. Amen.